Okay. So, this is the final lesson number 25. We still had two chapters left. I don't know if you guys read them or not, but I'm going to go over them, and then I'm going to go off script a little bit. So, the last two chapters of Isaiah reiterates God's faithful covenant to his people by proclaiming a new heaven and new earth. In chapter 65, we are reminded of what God has called the Israelite people to do in following God: circumcision, keeping the Sabbath, following the dietary laws that have been put forth. These are the marks of the Jewish people. For the Christian, instead of circumcision, we have the mark of our baptism. But we are still to keep the Sabbath as well as the other nine commandments. And we are also to live out the Beatitudes and perform spiritual works and corporal works of mercy. We can consider these our moral dietary laws. In verse 11 through 15, there is a distinction between those who are servants of the Lord and those who are not. Those who follow the law and considered servants of the Lord will not go hungry, will not be thirsty, will not be put to shame. They will live lives with hearts full of joy. Those who continue to go against the law will be hungry, thirsty, shameful, and sorrowful. So, the Israelites have the option of two paths. One leads to life and the other to death. I, for one, want life and want it abundantly. John 10:10, the last section 10:10b of that verse is, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. So the choice is ours. From verse 17 to the end of chapter 65, there is a description of the new heaven and the new earth, and I encourage you to read it again. It is the description of our retirement home if we truly serve the Lord. As we move to chapter 66, the idea of justice again comes to the forefront. We are to continue to work toward justice so as not to be put to shame. This again reminds me of the spiritual and corporal works of mercy that we're called to in service of those less fortunate. Chapter 66, 7 through 17, Jerusalem is described as a mother to all nations. When Jerusalem shapes up and does what it's supposed to do, it will be like a mother, giving nourishment, comfort, and guidance. It will be a light to all nations. Chapter 66 closes with that thought of God calling all nations to himself, the new heaven and the new earth. All will come to the mountain of the Lord and worship the one who created it all. When looking at these readings, the biggest thing that struck me was the two paths from which we can choose: the path of life or the path of death. Personally, I have experienced both paths. I came to the crossroads of these paths in my early 20s. In my early 20s, I was working in a film production company, and I graduated from UGA with a film degree. And I was producing television commercials and industrial films. And it was something that I'd always dreamed of doing. And so I was on the path of success, the earthly path, the worldly path of success. I got depressed. I don't know if anyone's been depressed. But this depression sunk me down to a place that was very dark and very scary. I felt like I didn't understand why I was unhappy. I didn't understand why I was depressed. I was doing everything right. Plan A worked. I'm a good, strong German who works hard, and I was working hard and making the dream come true. And it was not an answer for me. And so I began to feel very hopeless. And thought, well, if this is my dream and my dream's not bringing me happiness, what do I do? And then I was starting to feel very helpless because, you know, I had done everything right. And when hopelessness and helplessness mixes together, it's a very dangerous combination. I started to feel like I needed to get out of the pain by ending my life. I don't wish that on anybody. And if anyone knows of anyone who feels that way, send them my way and we'll get them help. But this dark time in my life, I didn't really know where God was. So I called my mom one night in desperation. And I said, if this is life, I don't want it anymore. And she said, well, I've got a book for you to read. And I said, well, if you tell me to read the Bible, I've heard all the stories. Because, you know, following all the rules, being a good Catholic, going to Mass, hearing all the stories. She said, no, it's a book called Prison to Praise by Merlin Carruthers. He's a Methodist Army chaplain. And he talks about living life in the Holy Spirit. I finished that book one night in my room, and I was struck by the thought that no matter what he went through in his life, this Mr. Carruthers, he always had peace and he always had joy when he lived life in the Holy Spirit. So I cried out to God that night in my room and I said, Lord, give me the peace and joy that this guy talks about. Do what you have to do. I can't describe what happened next other than that I felt a warmth rush through me. I felt God's presence at the foot of my bed. I felt the Lord say, you have help, and that's my Holy Spirit. And you have hope because I made you for a reason. I began to praise God that night in ways I'd never praised God before because I really didn't praise God. I asked for stuff, but I didn't really praise God. The next day, my outer trappings of my life had not changed, but inside had. The sky was bluer, the grass was greener. I started to pay attention at Mass. Lord, I'm not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word and I shall be healed. It's something I live every single day. And I'm brought back to that point at Mass every time we say that prayer. I started to fall in love with Scripture. Couldn't get enough of it. I call this next part of my life my honeymoon with the Lord. I couldn't get enough of my Catholic faith. I couldn't get enough of Scripture. And in the midst of this, there was a shakeup at work. And I thought that they were going to close the production company. And so it was the first time that I really asked God, well, Lord, if you made me for a reason, what am I supposed to do? And I thought God wanted me to become a nun, and I freaked out. Doesn't every Catholic girl go through this at one point in their life? And so it was on a Good Friday that I was over at Holy Cross Catholic Church after the Stations of the Cross that I met Kathy Weaver at the time, now Kathy Biskin, but Kathy Weaver. She was the youth minister at Holy Cross. And we had met once or twice before. We're standing there in the hallway, and she said, oh, look at that teenager over there from St. Pius. That kid asked me if I was going to become a nun. And I told him, no, there's other things you can do. You can be a layperson and work in the church. And I turned to Kathy, and I went, I think God wants me to become a nun, and I don't know what to do. and started to cry. And she said, well, let's go to the bathroom, because that's what women in crisis do. You run to the bathroom. And she said, I picked up this novena that you're supposed to start today. And why don't we meet and pray? And so for the next 9 days, I got up early, which is another miracle, got up early and met Kathy at Holy Cross in front of the Blessed Sacrament in the little chapel there. And we prayed for 9 days, the Divine Mercy Novena. And at the end of the 9 days, I asked if we could keep doing this. And Kathy walked with me in my time of discernment as to what was it that I was supposed to do with my life. That led to youth ministry and 30 plus years of working in the church. The full and abundant life that God had planned for me. I told you of my experience of how God brought me from the path of death to the path of life for a few reasons. First, last week my spiritual director said that I needed a spiritual renewal, and I agreed. And the way I do that is to remind myself of just how faithful God has been to me through my years. Telling my story reminds me that God will never leave me. He made me for a purpose. And the full and abundant life that he promises comes when we say yes to his call. The second reason is because I made a promise years ago when I was in Israel. We visited Caesarea and read how St. Paul, who was a prisoner there, told King Agrippa and the king's wife Bernice his conversion story. King Agrippa was so moved that he granted Paul his request to be tried in Rome. And he says, you've almost convinced me to convert. And I felt at that time, the best thing we can do is share our story of faith and share how God is alive and well. And so I promised the Lord that anytime I was called to tell the story, I would. And I felt called to do that today. And the third reason is because of Isaiah. The prophets of Isaiah answered the call by God to proclaim truth of salvation. These prophets are an example for us all. We should never shy away from proclaiming that God has created a new heaven and a new earth through Jesus Christ, our Savior. We should always live each day as a witness to that salvation. And living this earthly life through the power of the Holy Spirit will bear fruit for all of us. Through our faithfulness to the Savior, we can be a light to all nations. So, Lord Jesus, I praise you and thank you for this year, spending time with Isaiah, all the messages that you have for us today through that ancient prophet. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that gives us help, and for the fact that you created us for a reason which gives us hope. We ask you, Lord, to be with us every moment of the day so that we can be a light, your light, shine for all to see. And we pray all this in your holy name. Amen. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.